And at 1604 Webster Avenue, did someone live there? Was that an organization?
No. My sisters and my brother had rented this place in preparation for our arrival.
Were they living there?
No. My sister was living elsewhere, and my brother and my sister, as a matter of fact, my two sisters and my brother, all four of them, my sister was the oldest one, was all already married at the time. And my two sisters, single sister, Eva, and my brother Abe, were both living with her.
Now, when you did come to the United States and you were settled here, you started school?
I started school immediately. And my brother and my two sisters did not go to school. They went to night school because, like all other immigrants at that time, they had to earn a living to bring over what other members of a family they had in Europe. And I venture to say that every school in the city was open to the immigrants at that time. And they attended evening school.
How do you spell it? How do you spell that?
I started Morehead School. Morehead School.
M-O-R-E.
Morehead. H-O-O. Morehead
School. Morehead. And where did they go to school?
They went to Morehead School too, but at night.
And where was Morehead School?
Morehead School was on Miller Street. As a matter of fact, the principal, Miss Bennett, I remember her name. When my brother took me to school, she said to him, "What's your sister's name?" He said, "I don't know. They just arrived yesterday." She said, "What's her Jewish name?" She says, "Myrtle." He says, "She said, then we'll call her Myrtle."
Mm-hmm. And that's how you got your name.
That's how I got my name, Myrtle, which is an unusual name for those days because they used to call the children Miriam, Sadie, Celie, you know, those kind of. Miss Bennett named me Myrtle. In fact, they used to say that I chose a fancy name, which, by the way, my children don't like at all. They promised me they wouldn't name any of their children after me.
Could your brother speak English?
They all spoke English.
Could you speak English?
No. When I arrived, the unit said, yes. No, not a word of it.
So
as
how did you do
fact,
in school?
I started kindergarten at Morehead School. And those days, most of the children, there were so many children that were immigrants that they still had trouble with diseases of all kinds, eye diseases. And this business of delousing, would you believe it in those days? And I arrived, incidentally, on September 17th, 1913. They had nurses come in and examine every child when the class started, look into our hair, literally. And we were told to wash our hair with vinegar at least once a week.
Excuse me, that December 17th today in Pittsburgh, you got
September 17th.
Oh, September.
September 17th, 1913.
You arrived in Pittsburgh.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's how conditions were bad. And it wasn't that these people came from their countries originally like that. It's that when they came on the ships, they were so dirty, they were so crowded, so filthy. And they even had these diseases, eye diseases particularly, just en route. People were contaminated. Now, my sister Eva said that when she was going to this country, that she was stopped in Amsterdam because she got the eye disease. And she was in Amsterdam for 3 weeks before her eyes were cured. She was perfectly fine when she left.
Well,
they used to send
what disease was it? Do you have any
eye disease? Probably, I don't know, something that was contagious.
Like pink eye, maybe.
They wouldn't admit them into this country until the eye disease.
Who discovered it on the ship that they left her in Amsterdam?
What did you say?
How did they discover it on the ship?
Well, they checked them on the ship. They checked them on the ship. They didn't check them on the ships. They checked them when they got to Ellis Island.
No, but I'm in Amsterdam.
Well, evidently they checked stopped. Them as they en route.
Could you tell us something about the religious atmosphere of your home in Russia and
Russia, it was a strictly Orthodox home. Mm-hmm. As I might add, as was the case in most homes in those days, people were Orthodox. In Russia, I think it was generally more.
And here?
Here, always was a kosher home. As a matter of fact, even to this day, we've had a traditional home. You know, Estelle and Susan both, when they entered college, didn't eat meat for, Estelle didn't eat unkosher meat for 4 years. one of the teachers who was ultra-Orthodox, I should remember, used to tell four girls at Vassar to come and have, to buy meat and come to her apartment and to eat in her apartment. And then we had friends of ours, Blunt's, who came from the same town, and she too lived in Poughkeepsie, so she used to buy a stall every, Friday night to come there for dinner. Not that she did. Mm-hmm. Susan actually became ill because she wasn't eating a proper diet, and then she was in the hospital, and she finally was told that she better start eating properly.
Are your children, and they still keep kosher?
Indeed not. When Estelle went to Africa for the United States government, she was flying first class because she had an executive position, and it was on a Friday. It happened to be on a Friday, and when the stewardess came over to ask her what she wanted, she said she'd like to have fish. Well, when she came back, she said, "I'm sorry, miss, but we're all out of fish." There were a lot of non-Jewish people on it. And there was a priest sitting in front of her, and he turned around and he said, "Miss, I heard you ask for fish. I'll give you dispensation."
He thought she was
Catholic. And she said, "Thank you, Father, but I'm Jewish." Well, when she went to Africa, I don't have to tell you, she couldn't get any kosher meat. Oh, what she doesn't eat now. All my children, none of them keep kosher. Some of them don't eat bacon, but... But we've always had a tradition.
Well, besides the tradition of the kosher and the, what sort of religious atmosphere did you have? Did you go to services in Russia with your parents?
Always.
Or what?
With
Saturday.
And you blessed the candles? I mean, what did you do in a religious way besides the food part?
We went to the synagogue Saturdays.
This is in Russia?
In Russia. This was, of course, after, as I can remember, and my sisters always say that my parents especially used to go to shul on Saturday. This was a general rule, and they would take the children, and the children, most of them were left to play outside because the synagogue was a very small one. I remember my mother used to give me a little package of food so that I could stand outside and have something to eat so she wouldn't have to come out during the services. During the holidays, of course, we attended services. I can't remember the time when I didn't light candles. What my father did, I was too young to be, after I was only 13 months old when he died. I'm sure he made Kiddush Friday night.
Did your mother afterwards?
Eventually, of course. Uh-huh.
And what about the holidays? You observed
all
the holidays?
Always observed the holidays, always. As we do here all the time in our house.
Do you remember any holidays significant to you? When you were in Russia, do you remember any? Did the Christian children come into your home?
Always.
For the holidays, I mean.
No.
They didn't come and participate or learn.
But we had an open house in Russia, as I mentioned to you, because we had the store, and because we had a wonderful relationship with the Russian people. Our home was always an open house, and interestingly enough, it always remained that way, and all European people mm-hmm. came over, because we had borders, and in Russia the same thing too. The people would come in, and we'd have song fests in our home. Most of the songs were in Russian, because most of the times it was the Russians who came to our house, and we would sit for hours and sing songs.
But for your Jewish holidays, did your Christian friends come and participate? Would you say no?
No, they did not. Mm-mm. No. But they knew about Jewish holidays.
Mm-hmm. In this country, did the Christian friends come in?
You mean in my household?
In your household, when you were a child.
Your mother.
William, did the Christian friends come in as part of the
home? No, because we had no association with Christian people. And when we first came over, and for many years thereafter, this was during the days of immigration, and anybody that came to any city, Pittsburgh, for instance, the immigrants would find friends, so that we not only had Russian friends, we had Romanian friends, and friends from Galicia.
But all Jewish.
Yes, all Jewish, and every household had a border.
In school, did you have any non-Jewish friends here in this country?
I did, and you know when that was? When we came to this country, second year after we were here, my brother, when he came here, he was taught a trade, egg canning.
This is your brother,
Abe. My brother, Abe. He was the only one, the only brother I had when we came to this country, because the other one, the young one, died. When he came, he was taught how to candle eggs. He was canning for a man by the name of Mr. Spencer, who was in the wholesale egg business, but he also was what they called at that time a potato king. And because my brother and my two sisters had brought the four of us over, I suppose they didn't have enough money to sustain us. Mr. Spencer suggested to my brother A that there was a farm on Troy Hill that could be bought for a good price, and that if he was interested, he could buy the farm, because he knew that there were two Russian men who came from the same town where we lived in Katras, who were also in Pittsburgh, and that if he could get these two men to take care of the farm, that it would help us financially. My brother Abe contacted these two Russian men, and we moved to Troy Hill.
Were they Jewish?
No, they were not. They were farmers, as a matter of fact, in Russia. That's why he contacted him. And we had a farm on Troy Hill. And actually, it was the way we helped to subsidize the financial conditions at that time.
What year was that about?
If we came here in 1913, that would be about 1916. Mm-hmm. I was the only Jewish child in the school.
What was the name of that school?
Mount Troy School. And it was a school of four rooms, and I was the only Jewish child, and most of the children in that school were Germans, because Troy Hill, North Side, was mostly composed of, not most, but the majority of them were Germans. German Jews, as a matter of fact, lived there too. Mm-hmm. But we lived in a little farm, so that there were no Jewish children, no Jewish people there at all. And we had a marvelous relationship with all of the non-Jewish people there. I can't remember one unpleasant incident as a school child in that schoolhouse. Never. They had a wonderful relationship.
Well, when you mentioned your family here had a grocery store, was that some things on the farm?
No.
Or was that before you moved?
Later. Long after that.
Well, what did your mother do between the time she moved to the farm and the time she came here? What did she do?
We lived
on Webster Avenue.
We lived on Webster Avenue, and we had cousins of mine came later, and she lived with us.
Mother didn't have to work, your brother?
She didn't work at all. My two sisters, worked in a pants factory.
These are the older ones.
That's right. And so did Sura, the retarded one, too. She used to turn up the cuffs on trousers. That was her job. Now, in those days, there was child labor, was permitted. And children that came at the age of 12 and 13, and it wasn't compulsory to go to high school in those days. Can you remember that? You're too young to know that.
Well, I know that.
But there was child labor, and if you didn't want to school after you graduated grade school, you didn't have to go to school. And even after school, children were hired. And there was that was the time of the cigar factories, Toby factories.
Well, did any of your family work?
No, my brother was the egg candler. My two sisters worked for Goldblum's. It was Goldblum's trouser factory. And all of the labor at that time was piecework, depended on how much you accomplished. what you accomplished.
They bring things home too?
No. There was no, we didn't need it. And that's why most people worked in those piece work. Those are worked in factories or the Toby factories. And they used to work from all kinds of hours, from morning until late. And I think my brother was, my brother-in-law who worked in the pants factory those days, earned $6 a week.
This was your sister Goldie's husband?
Gold, yes.
What was his name?
Morris Holtzman.
This is Goldie's, the one who Morris earned $6 Holtzman. A week, you're saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Morris who?
Holtzman, Holtzman.
And she was married by the time you had come
here. When you said that you were respected in Russia and lived well, did you live as well once you came to this country with the sisters and brothers supporting your family? Was it still, were you able to buy what you all needed? Or were you poorer than in Russia? Or how was it compared to?
Oh, no, we were better off.
Better off here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what about culturally here?
Of course, started school. And my sisters and my brothers, I told you, they went to night school because they had to work. They had no choice in the matter. As did all immigrants in America.
Right. Tell us about, could you tell us about how your mother dealt with Sarah? Being that she was a slow learner and all that, did she do anything especially different for her than she
had
done for you?
No, because when we came to this country, don't forget she was an adult. She was 20 or 21 years old when she came over. And we were very fortunate in that we were able to get her employment. My sister, Eva and Goldie, who were working in this trouser factory, actually pled with Mr. Goldwyn to take her on. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, she was teachable. She could do something.
Oh, yes.
He told her what to
That's
do.
That's right. She worked in this pants factory. She turned up the cuffs of the trousers. And she earned some money, and she worked to her dying day.
When did she
never married. Now, as a matter of fact, she died when we were on our honeymoon trip, which was in 1932, during the flu epidemic.
Did she die of the flu?
She died of the flu. Right. As a matter of fact, you never know that she wasn't normal talking to her. It's just that she
couldn't
learn very well. As a matter of fact, there was a ship did propose to her. There was another family, I'll tell you about, because we had a store later on, too, a grocery store, and my mother said no, she didn't want her to get married because she knew that if she was married, it would be added responsibility. She would have children, and she didn't think that she was qualified to be married, and she wouldn't permit her.
How old was she when she died?
She was about 62. And worked very nice.
In the same pants factory?
Mm-hmm. And she did.
Now we're back at Troy Hill, I think.
Right,
at that
Troy
point,
Hill.
Yeah.
So, you know the farmer's market?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we used to take our vegetables down to that farmer's market, except it was an entirely different, it was in the same place, but it was an entirely different area. I mean, it didn't look the same.
The old north side,
right
down on the wharf.
Did you work in on the farm?
Oh, indeed I did.
What did you do?
There was no such thing as not working.
What did you do?
I used to bunch the carrots and the radishes and whatever had to be done. We didn't do any of the plowing or the planting. What we used to do, see, these two men used to take care of the farm, and my mother and I. Now, my sister Anna, Eva was then married to before we moved to the farm. My sister Anna was working, too, as a clerk. She stopped working in the factory a long time. Before that time, she was a clerk in the grocery store. That was my sister Anna. And she continued with her schooling all the time.
But did she work on the farm at all?
No. She didn't, but she used to come home.
So only you and your mother and the men?
Right.
And none of your brothers lived there with you?
No.
So Eva didn't live there and Anna didn't live there?
No.
Just the two of them?
Right.
And so who went to the farmer's market?
The two men and my mother and I, and then when Anna would come home, she would go. The farmers' markets were usually on Friday night, or on Friday night, just like the time when I used to go to the farmers' market. As a matter of fact, this one man, had the farmer's market until rather recently. I venture to say about 10 years ago, and I used to get out of the farmer's market when I was still on the north side and buy vegetables.
Friday night, you said.
Friday night.
Mm-hmm. I'm still getting back to the cultural, even on the farm. How did your mother, you went to school, mm-hmm. you worked on the farm, you still had the Jewish kosher tradition, but what other culture did you have in reading or in music? Or what else did you have in the home, artistic or whatever?
We had practically none of that, except that my mother's ambition was that we should get a piano so that I could take piano lessons.
Did you get it?
I did, because I used to play with my hands on the table, you know, like all children thought, oh, she thought I was going to become a genius. Well, I took piano lessons when we moved back into the city. For years I took piano lessons at $1
on the farm,
hour.
Too?
No.
Oh.
And
where did you get the piano?
My mother bought a piano.
How long were you on the farm?
We were on the farm for, I don't know, maybe
until you were
home. Like, I didn't graduate. I must have been on the farm about 5 or 6 years, I think.
So you didn't take piano till after that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they leave the farm?
We left the farm because it was, there wasn't room for advancement. They didn't want me to, I was still young at the time. And my mother, there were no Jewish contacts there, whatever. And my mother wanted us to move back into the city so that I could have Jewish contacts. And then I could get some advancement as far as education was concerned.
So you moved back to where?
We moved back to Wiley Avenue. And the reason that we moved back to Wiley Avenue was my sister Goldie and her husband had a grocery store there. And they had been in that business for quite some time and they wanted to sell it. My brother-in-law went into another business, and so we took over because it was doing very well. And
did you buy it from
them? Mm-hmm. My mother and my sister Anna bought the business, and I started school at there's a time before that. We moved to Cliff Street. Before that, from the farm, we moved to Cliff Street. And we were on Cliff Street for I don't know how many years, and maybe about 3 or 4 years after that, we bought the store from Goldie and Morris, a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bought it on Webster, Wiley Avenue.
Right.
2 or 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to... Well, on Cliff Street, you had to go to a school.
I went to Lecce School.
How do you spell it?
Lettsche.
What grade were you then? Do you remember how old were you?
I must have been about 11, something like that. I can't remember. I was
11
still in grade school.
In grade school,
yes,
that's right.
Yes, I was in grade school. I don't remember how old I was at that time. But I was at Lecce School for about 2 years. And in the meantime, you know, the Iron Coffin Settlement was the gathering place for all of the refugees, the newcomers to this country. And I remember that my mother didn't want me to join the Iron Coffin Settlement because she had a terrific sense of pride, really carried it to extremes. It was for poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had privilege, and I say privilege advisedly, of knowing Mr. Teller, he always used to talk about the poor children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it got to her that everybody that went to the Iron Coffin Settlement was poor. And she absolutely forbade me to go to the Iron Coffin Settlement until she found out that they were giving religious education, Sunday school, the Iron Coffin Settlement. And there again, I'm bringing in the Council of Jewish Women. Miriam Schoenfeld was the executive director of the Council of Jewish Women and the Road of Sholem Sisterhood had a joint,
Southwestern
District Sunday School. The classes, one of the classes met at the Irene Kaufman Settlement. Originally, it was, you know, the council wasn't the Council of Jewish Women. It was called Columbian Council originally, and it was changed to the Council of Jewish Women later on. And my mother wanted me to get the Jewish education, so she permitted me to go to the Irene Kaufman Settlement to get the Jewish education. We had Sunday school classes. And after that, well, every activity that the Irene Kaufman Settlement had to offer, I was in. The dancing classes, at which I was very bad. clubs, I joined clubs of all kinds. And I was very active in the Irene Kaufman.
Is that where you took the piano lessons?
No, that came later.
What did you say you took dancing?
Dancing and dramatics, and I've joined one or two clubs. I was very active after that.
You were a teenager then.
I was a teenager then, right. And from Metchie School, I went to McKelvey School, which was built at the time that we were living up in the Holy Land.
How do you spell that?
McKelvey, N-C-K-E-L-V-Y.
Capital K?
Yes, mm-hmm. Still in existence. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you lived on Wiley Avenue.
Then that's when we got the grocery store, too, and I graduated McKelvey School.
And you graduated in what year?
Well, I graduated high school in 1924, and took me 4 years for high school, so I must have graduated McKelvey School in 1920.
And where did you graduate high school?
Oh, this was
Shenley High School. Shenley High School was built during that time. I had a choice of going to McKelvey or a Fifth Avenue. And there again, my mother. While we had the store on Wiley Avenue, and most of the neighborhood, a great deal of the neighborhood.
Was it McKelvey or Fifth?
Fifth, you mean?
I'm talking about Shenley. Going to high school.
Well, to high school.
It was
Shenley?
Fifth Avenue High School or Shenley High School.
Yeah, you had said McKelvey.
And Shenley Fifth Avenue High School was much nearer to Wiley Avenue, to our grocery store, than Shenley High School. But my mother was the kind of, she always had high, you know, she always wanted something better for me. She said, if Shenley High School is the new high school, and she wants me to go to Shenley High School, and that's where I went. I used to take the streetcar from Wiley Avenue to go to Shenley High School. I never go to
Was it better? Was it a better school?
Well, it was a new school, and she assumed that it was a better neighborhood, certainly, than Fifth Avenue High School.
Do you remember any of your teachers or your courses? Were you inspired there?
Oh, yes. I had Milton Sussman. We had one of the best classes at the time of graduation.
He was in your class?
We graduated. Milton Sussman, Frieda Ferber, Isabella. Right. And those people. Isabel Israel. She's now... Milton Sussman and Helen Board, you know her? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't know her? She's a member of council, too. Eric Mantle, though he was the president of the class. Who was the president of the Pittsburgh Foundation?
How do you spell Mantle?
What?
How do you spell
Mantle?
M-A-N-T-L-E?
M-A-N-T-E-L. But who was
he was president of the class?
No, yes, he was president of the class. But who was the president of the Pittsburgh Foundation? He just died about a few years ago.
Non-Jewish man.
Yes. I can't remember him. We had a wonderful class. The outstanding teacher that all of us can remember was Mr. Kennedy. He was our English teacher. And if anybody in our class can remember Mr. Kennedy, who was the English teacher, he was...
Outstanding class, you said. What compared to the other classes in the school, were they all bright?
Well, not
or was
all
yours
bright.
More? I mean, was your class the outstanding of all of them?
It was a very outstanding class. We had good fortune. And incidentally, David Berger, who was Mrs. Charles B. Berger's son, was a half a year behind us. He was a brilliant student, and he was in the debating society in our group.
Well, then you did have better students in that school than in Fifth Avenue.
You know why? because a lot of these young people came from the East End district, you mm-hmm. see. East End and what was then Squirrel Hill. And Squirrel Hill didn't have nearly as many Jewish people at that time. But whatever Jewish people did live in Squirrel Hill and East End, more than lived in East End, you see, they migrated to East End.
They had to go
they would send them to Chimney High
School. Was it a